Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so today is Super Bowl Sunday. When you hear Super Bowl Sunday, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? I think the majority of what I heard was food, okay? Because even if you could care less about football and the game or the teams that are on, even if you could care less about the commercials or the halftime show, everybody enjoys the food of Super Bowl Sunday, right? What kind of foods do we enjoy? Chips? Can't have those chips without great dips, right? Facebook, if you're on it, has every kind of video to show you how to make those dips, right? All right, chips and dip, what else do we eat at Super Bowl? Ribs? Who said ribs? I'm coming to your house. All right, Lori, you're on. What am I hearing back here? Chicken wings, classic Super Bowl food. First service, I said, it's Ponset, right? They said, no. I said, there's a holiday without Ponset? What's that? Lumpia. Okay, we don't get Ponce, but we get lumpia. But Super Bowl is one of those days where we eat, and we eat. And so here I am today giving myself the challenge. When I set my preaching schedule, I didn't pay attention to where Super Bowl Sunday was, and here I am on Super Bowl Sunday, one of the biggest eating Sundays of the year. I'm going to preach to you about fasting, okay? You know, next week for Valentine's Day, I will talk about the greatness of singleness, okay? I'm like, I think that's about as absurd as it sounds. But anyways, so Super Bowl Sunday is food, and here I want to talk about fasting. I want to have a little moment of more teaching than preaching for you, because I didn't pay attention to when Super Bowl Sunday was, but I paid attention to when Lent starts, and Lent starts on Wednesday. And there are certain things where there seem to be the beliefs, well, that's a Catholic thing or that's an Orthodox thing. I've had people ask me lately, you know, Ash Wednesday, isn't that a Catholic thing? On the radio last year, everybody, oh, you're going to see all the Catholics with their ashes. And it's like, wait a second, we Protestants do it too. We do celebrate Ash Wednesday and we do practice fasting. But most oftentimes, the only time we practice fasting is during Lent in what we give up or what we add as a Lenten discipline. But I want to let you know this morning that fasting is not a Catholic thing. It's not an Orthodox thing. It's not a Lenten thing. It is a Christian spiritual practice that we are called to take on no matter which faith tradition we are. It is a very biblically based spiritual practice. And so today I want to talk us through it and make it seem that fasting is not nearly as scary as it seems, and that it is way more possible than it seems. And I know several of you might be out there, because I've already been hearing this week, even if you have medical conditions, diabetic, hypoglycemic, blood pressure issues, medications that you have to take, there is a safe way, in accordance with what your doctor wants, that you can fast no matter your health conditions. And hopefully I will be able to present one of those options to you this morning. And so with that, I want to begin, and this is one of those notes kinds of Sundays. And so I had people at first service with their pen and paper out. So if you want to grab your pen and paper, you're more than welcome. I want to begin this morning with thinking about the types of fasts there are. Let's just get that one over with. What kinds of ways can we fast? And the first, it's got this really complex name to it. It's called the normal fast, okay? Got that? The normal fast. A normal fast can go anywhere from one day to 40 days, okay? 40 days mimicked by Jesus, who fasted in the desert for 40 days in a normal fast. Well, what is a normal fast, Pastor? A normal fast is when you abstain from food, but you allow yourself juice and water. This is the kind of fast, a normal fast, is what our young people will be going through for 30 hours from Friday to Saturday. They are allowed to have as much water as they want because it's important for you to keep your body hydrated. There is no fast that says, I did find one fast that said no water, and I took that out, wasn't going to preach on it, but you can look it up if you want. Anyways, they're allowed as much water as they want, and hourly they get juice breaks, and in those juice breaks, your body is able to get enough electrolytes, enough of those natural sugars and the calories that it needs to be healthy through that fast. And so a normal fast says, I'm going to deny myself eating, but I'm still, if it's doctor approved, having enough that will sustain me to where it will not be damaging to somebody who is normal and healthy. Like I said, this is one that you see of Jesus. This is probably the most popular kind of fasting within the scriptures, abstaining from food, but allowing the liquids to still come in. Another biblically based one is called the Daniel fast. If you can imagine, it's named after the prophet Daniel. Daniel was really in need of God, and so he took on a 21-day fast, okay? Wow, Pastor, 21 days, okay? But his wasn't abstaining from all of food. What the Daniel fast is, it says, I'm not going to abstain from all food, but all I'm going to allow myself is fruits and vegetables and water and juice, okay? You can sustain yourself for 21 days off of this. If you're the type of person that really needs to have that protein, they allow for, in a traditional Daniel fast, they allow for protein shakes as well to be able to get the protein and the iron to supplement those fruits and vegetables. But it says, I'm going to get myself the most nutritious of foods through those fruits and vegetables, but I'm going to deny myself the meat and the carbs and those types of things to give myself 21 days of focusing on God like Daniel did within the scriptures. Okay? Daniel fast. It's also with the Daniel fast, if you can imagine, it's a very physical cleansing fast for your body. I've been seeing a big trend of people doing these cleansings, of needing to cleanse their bodies of all the toxins and impurities that are within there. And that's one of the side effects of the Daniel fast, is it does allow for that physical cleansing while it has that spiritual focus. And then the last two are the most doable, the easiest of fasts that anybody can do. One is called the rotational fast, okay? This is one that I learned about early on, probably in high school. I learned about the rotational fast from a friend of mine who is Greek Orthodox. Because in the Greek Orthodox Church in Lent, they do a rotational fast that the day of the week determines what you can and can't eat. So there are certain days that they are not allowed to have meat at all. Those are the days that they eat fish. If you can imagine, that most often is on Friday, hence Filet-O-Fish Fridays at McDonald's. Never thought McDonald's was so spiritual until you saw those Filet-O-Fish Fridays during Lent. But anyway, so there's certain days you can't have meat, certain days you can't have carbs, certain days you can't have sugars, but it's on a rotational basis, and so it's not one where after the first week of Lent, I've gotten used to this change, and then I just kind of cruise through the rest of Lent. But each day you have to pay attention to what you can and can't have. And so a rotational fast where you change each day of what you are giving up, what you are denying yourself during this fast. It's a very disciplined fast to be able to have a spiritual focus to it. And finally, the last one that's probably the most familiar that a lot of people take on with Lent, which is a sacrificial fast. This is, here is something for this period of time that I am going to sacrifice. These tend to be not the necessities, but these tend to be the things that we love. Growing up, I always knew with Lent, Mom was giving up chocolate, okay? So keep chocolate away from Mom because she's giving up, because Mom really liked chocolate growing up. Of course, somewhere along the line, chocolate wasn't as important to her, and she said, I got to change my Lenten fast because it's too easy to give up chocolate. I know for me, I've tried challenging myself in the past, and I've given up caffeine during Lent. I have given up sweets during Lent. I have given up fast food or eating out for Lent. I've tried to figure out what's something that I'm going to crave, that I'm going to want, but I really don't need, that's going to create that, oh, why did I do this? Because I really want that cup of coffee this morning. Why did I do this? I don't have time to make food at home. I just want to go pick it up. But a challenge of what is it that I can give up that actually takes discipline? It's something that I actually desire and want and will get cravings for. What is a way that I can sacrifice? I know for me, last example with me, a few years ago, I decided I needed to really do a different kind of challenge. And at the San Jacinto Church, we had a food pantry. And on our food pantry, we had 15 types of items that you could get, and you could pick 10 out of the 15 items, and we would bag it for you and give it to you. And we kept a room, a pantry, stocked with these items. And I decided that I needed a new challenge. And so what I did for Lent is I was only allowed to eat things that could be found on that list and inside of our pantry. One of the biggest challenges in that is there are no fresh foods in that pantry. So for Lent, I could have no fresh fruits, no fresh vegetables, no fresh meat. I could handle all the cereal and ramen and soup and pasta, but the biggest challenge for me, the only two proteins I would eat within that pantry was canned tuna and canned chicken, because I won't touch Spam or Vienna sausage. I just can't do it. I know there's those that love it, and God bless you, but I can't. And 40 days of canned tuna and canned chicken can get a little wary on you. But I wanted a way that I really had to sacrifice and really think about what I was eating, and also to see what it's like to try to eat off of that kind of diet that depends on food pantries, that depends on budgets that are so low that can't afford fresh fruits and vegetables and meats. And so a sacrificial diet is one. Here's something I'm going to sacrifice. A lot of people tend to do this for Lent, but Lent isn't the only time that you can do this. So when do we do these fasts? When do we think, I need to fast. I think God's calling me to fast. This is a time I should take one of these on. Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's my list, okay? The first is in times when we are seeking guidance. We saw the Apostle Paul all through the book of Acts going on fasts. He fasted with Silas. He fasted with Barnabas. He fasted by himself whenever it was that he was needing God to give him direction of what he was supposed to be next, how it was he was supposed to be tackling a situation or handling a problem. It would show that Paul would fast and pray to hear the Lord's answer as far as what he's supposed to do. I don't know if you've had that kind of time in life where you're like, I really don't know what to do about this. I don't know which direction I'm supposed to be going. I don't know which choice I'm supposed to be making. I don't know how I'm supposed to be handling this difficult situation. And you're really needing God's help. Well, prayer is powerful, and it's a time that we can be on our knees. But if we're feeling that we need more than just prayer, we can fast and pray to be able to seek that guidance from God. God, I am going to fast. I am going to give these things up so that I can spend more time focusing on you, being spiritually disciplined, so that I can hear your answer in what it is that I'm needing to be doing in this situation. Very similar to that is for when we need God's intervention. King David, it tells us in the Old Testament that when Bathsheba gave birth to her son, y'all know the David and Bathsheba story. David had an affair with Bathsheba, and then she had a child. Well, God made that child very sick. And David loved that child, and David needed God to intervene in the life of that child. And so it says that David fasted and prayed fervently for that child. He desperately needed God to intervene. And so beyond prayer, he fasted to be able to seek God's intervention for that child. Have you ever had that place in your life where you're like, I need God to intervene. I need God's healing. I need God's hand. I need God to be the one to do it, because this is something beyond what I'm capable of doing. God needs to be here and be the one that does this. It's a time to be able to fast, an opportunity to be spiritually disciplined, to seek God to come into the situation. Another time is in a time of mourning, when we're feeling those deep pains of loss. It tells us in Nehemiah that when the prophet Nehemiah was just mourning and weeping over the situation that was happening for him, it says that he prayed and fasted and wore sackcloth, okay? If you don't know sackcloth, it's basically like burlap, okay? That's the closest I could explain. So imagine wearing sackcloth, so you're like in miserable, uncomfortable, itchy situation, and then fasting and praying on top of it. That's a way of saying, God, I am going to take the distractions of this world, and I'm going to put myself in a position where all I can do is focus on you until I can get out of this situation. In times that we mourn, that we're feeling those physical and emotional pains, to allow God to be in that situation, weeping with us, and then providing the comfort we need through a time of fasting where we can really focus on God to allow him to help us through that time in our life. Repentance. I talked about Daniel with his 21 days. Daniel in his 21 days was a desire for repentance, a desire to confess to God where things had gone wrong and to desire God's forgiveness and to get back on track. We also get that in the situation when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, okay? That story, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, go tell them they need to repent, go warn them of what I'm gonna do. And Jonah said, no, they're evil. I don't want you to save them. I'd rather you wipe them out. I'm gonna go the other way. God swallowed him by a great fish and said, all right, you sit in this stinky fish and you think about it. Finally, when Jonah changed his mind and said, I will listen, the fish spits him out. He goes to Nineveh and he warns them and he says, you know, God's wrath's coming because of the way that you're living your life. And they say, we need to repent. We need God to be able to save us. And so it says as a whole community, the Ninevites fasted and prayed. And at the end of that fasting and praying, God changed his mind. He forgave the Ninevites and he saved them from what was to come because of their discipline and showing their faith through the fasting that they did. We can fast when we need strength. When we're just feeling weak in our lives, when we're feeling incapable, when we feel that we need God to be the one to empower us for the job that is ahead of us. If we go into Matthew, and we've got the verse that we love, you know, with faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? If you go into the King James Version or a few other versions, they've mashed a verse from Mark 9 in there. And it says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains when you fast and pray. When that faith is shown in fasting and praying, you've got the strength of God to be able to do anything. When you've spiritually centered yourself in a time of self-denial and prayer to be able to tackle what's happening in this world. King Ahab gives us an example of fasting when we need to be humbled, okay? This is probably not the one that comes up most often, but when we realize that we are thinking too much of ourselves and not enough of God, and we need to recenter ourselves on who's the top of the pecking order in our life and to realize the capability of God and that we are under him, fasting is a time when we can do that. Fasting is a time when we can humble ourselves and be able to be brought down back to earth and putting God back as the focus in our life. And finally, and last but not least, it's not all just about what we need or seeking from God. Fasting just as much can be about what we want to give God. When we have times of celebration, when we have time that we're feeling blessed, when we have times to celebrate, we can use fasting as a way to worship and celebrate. In the Gospel of Luke, the widow goes to the temple and she wants to celebrate to God and worship him and praise him in spite of everything that happens. And it says, and so she fasted and prayed and praised God. We can absolutely say, God, I just want to praise you and show you how much you've blessed me. And so I'm going to take this spiritual discipline to show you how honored I am for the life that you are giving me right now. Fasting is a powerful spiritual discipline that we can take. It's a time when God can come into our lives, a time when God can touch us, a time when God can give us answers. But let's look at some of the details, some of the tips that I want to give you. If you take on any kind of these fasts, what are some of the things that we need to remember? And the first and foremost in that is when you fast, you have to be in prayer. If you've noticed, every time I've brought in the example, I've said, and they fasted and prayed. If you fast without praying, you're just making yourself hungry. If you fast with prayer, you're taking on a spiritual discipline. Instead of that eating, instead of that indulgence, you're taking that time to pray and to focus on God. Now, if prayer doesn't seem like it comes that easy to you, or you struggle in that one, instead of prayer, you can spend time in the scripture. I absolutely encourage time in the scripture when you fast. Because what happens? We're desiring God's answers. We're desiring God's comfort. We're desiring God's strength. We're desiring God's guidance or intervention. And so often those words of God that we need are right here. And if we're willing to open up and read to it, if we're allowing God to guide us in where we need to go, oftentimes God is going to steer us where we need to be. And we can hear those words that we need to know right here out of the scripture. But it takes opening it up and reading it to hear those words. And so I absolutely encourage, prayer's the necessity and scripture's so important. During those times of fasting, sometimes to distract ourselves from what we're feeling, we can give to others. And also to remind us of what we're capable of. And that during our fast, we can do acts of service. Going and serving other people, helping other people. During the meal that I'm going to skip, is there somebody that's lonely that I can go and visit and be in fellowship with and lift up their day instead of thinking about that meal that I'm going to be missing? Is there a way I can be on the phone with somebody or going and serving at a charity organization to be able to distract myself, but also to be able to allow God to use me in this time that I'm focusing on Him? A couple of really big tips. Number one, and young people, if you're coming to the famine on Friday, leave your gum at home, okay? If you're fasting and you're allowing yourself to go hungry, do not chew gum, because that chewing of gum is a natural way of waking up the system and saying, I'm ready to eat. And the last thing you want to do is tell your system that you want to eat while you're trying to deny yourself eating. So unless you want to increase the hunger pains, don't chew gum. And the other one is if you're going to take on any kind of fast where you're denying yourself food or making it to where you are going to be feeling hungry, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Because when we get sleep deprived, we tend to feel hungrier. And our body needs more of the food energy to keep us awake. And so if you're going to fast, make sure you get a full night's sleep. Take a nap if you need to, but take care of that part of your body to help have the energy and strength to be able to get through the fast. A couple other things. One is the recommendation to journal while you're fasting, to write down about what's going on in your experience. Write down the things that you're hearing from God. Write down the things that you're going through or feeling, the emotions, and in particular, the outcome at the end, so that right there in your journal, you have a witness to yourself of what the fasting was and that you can draw from that the next time you might be in need of fasting or in need of one of these things that we've talked about. Scripturally, I'm going to note it, Jesus talks about fasting in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, when you fast, don't go out there with your face all sullen of, oh, I'm fasting and I'm so hungry, so that everybody knows and everybody can go, oh, look at Pastor Stacy. Look how spiritual she is. She's fasting. He says, no, put makeup on, put oil on your head, make yourself look as good as possible so that the fasting is between you and God and focused on that and not on the ability to brag and say, hey, look at me. I'm super religious because I'm fasting. Make it something between you and God. Doesn't mean hide it. It doesn't mean afterwards don't allow it to be a witness of look what God was able to do in this. But remember the humble side of fasting and what the purpose is. And finally, and last but not least, actually two last things. I forgot one that I didn't put in my note. One, make it a time with God. When you fast, and I encourage you to try this in some way, shape, or form. Open your heart to God and really, truly put into it the ability to have an experience with God that'll surpass anything else that you do. God has the ability to be very powerful through fasting if you're willing to open your heart and your ears to experience and hear God through it. And finally, last but not least, when you finish your fast, especially if it's something significant, have a way of marking the end of it to celebrate what you have done. Have the end of your fast be Sunday morning worship. Have the end of your fast be a fellowship time with other Christians where you can really celebrate the end of it. Schedule communion to break fast. The first time to eat again to be the Lord's Supper. If it's not a fast that's going to be coming for a first Sunday where you can break it with this, I would love it if you called me up and said, Pastor Stacy, I'm going to be doing a fast, and either I'd like to invite you when I finish to bring me communion, or I'd like you to provide me elements that are blessed that I can do it on my time. I can give you prayers and litanies that you can go through with it and be able to use it as a way to break that fast and celebrate and to remember the goodness of God. If you go through a significant fast, I will promise you that communion will become the best tasting thing you have ever put in your mouth when it's the first piece of food after a day or two. But find a way to mark it and celebrate it and do something good at the end of it to celebrate the journey that you and God have been through. My friends, fasting is not scary. It's not this foreign discipline that only the super religious can do. I really encourage you to find a way of when you are needing God, to find a way to fast as a spiritual discipline, to be able to connect with your Maker and put your heart where it needs to be, open to hear God in that moment. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all of the blessings that you give us in our lives, all of the ways that you intercede into the path that we are walking to help us with strength, with guidance, with the people that are along the way that make this life possible. And we just pray that as we begin this Lenten journey, as we begin this time of discipline to draw closer to you and to be reminded of the power of what you did through Jesus Christ on the cross and in that empty tomb, we pray that you will help us to find a way that we can deny ourselves the pleasures of this world that so oftentimes are distractions to us, so that we can take time in these 40 days and throughout the year to be able to focus more disciplined on you, to be connected to you, to be more in love with you, and to be hearing the call that you have for us. For Lord, our whole lives and all that we have are yours. And so we give you all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.